want to get started on the right foot, so let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, just thank you for our time this morning, for being present with us, for providing fellowship with each other and other believers, for the challenge you've provided for us through the teachings that we've had already. But we ask you to continue to focus us more on you this morning. Speak to us through your word and draw us closer to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lots of breathing here. Today, I wanted to look at something that a topic I really wanted to avoid, because I always have had a struggle with the concept. It's based on the teaching of the sufficiency of Christ. Another way to think about that is Jesus is enough. I used to avoid it because I felt it felt so short of describing Jesus. I mean, there's so much more. It just really bugged me, that concept. Of course Jesus is enough. But that falls so short of what he is and what he does for us. Think about all we're missing when we just say Jesus is enough. Think about it another way. Have you ever heard someone answer a question and you thought, yeah, that's true, but you really missed answering the question? A little girl goes up to her father and asks, how does a plane fly? The father answers the girl, it's because of the big wings. Well, yeah, that's true, but there's so much more. It's because of the airflow over the wings, and with the airflow going over the top of the wings, it causes a little bit of a vacuum which pulls the plane up, and there's air pressure underneath the wings that pushes the plane up. So the two things work together and lift the plane. Which answer is what the little girl wanted? I'm the type of guy who would give the long and extended answer. Is that really what she needs? The same thing is true for our faith. Think about Jesus. He's the creator of so many details. He didn't create just this earth and the sun. He created the subatomic particles like gluons and quarks. He created galaxies so far away that even the telescopes on Earth can't see them. He literally walked on water, healed the sick, brought dead people back to life again. How can we say just that Jesus is enough? Think of it another way. Look at Luke chapter 12, verses 6 to 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're worth much more than many sparrows. God cares about every sparrow. Think about it. Think about all the birds there are. Now think about just the sparrows. If one were missing, would I even notice? Would I even care? No. For me, I would never notice. But God does. He knows that detail. God's numbered all the hairs on your head. I don't have nearly as many as most of you. But I haven't spent the time to reach through and count them all. And frankly, I really don't care how many I have. But God cares. He's numbered every single hair on your head. Isn't that more than enough? There's so many examples I could go through that show Jesus, as part of the triune God, is so much more than enough. So why is there this focus on the teaching of the sufficiency of Christ? Or, like I'm rephrasing it, Jesus is enough. Just saying that phrase, Jesus is enough, actually reminds me of an old TV series, 8 is Enough. Maybe some of you remember it. It's based on the true life story of a person named Thomas Braden, who had 8 children. Many of you who have children may want to echo the phrase, 8 is enough, or more likely, too much. But is 8 really enough? Well, you need 9 for a baseball team, you're 1 short. Add in mom and dad, and you're still 1 short of a football team. 8's not enough. Those numbers and what we consider to be enough are really based on our perspective. If that family with 8 kids had, by some surprise, another child, would they still say 8 is enough? More than likely not. It would take away some of the value of that 9th child. And they would still love that 9th child. So then they'd say 9 is enough. It's changed their perspective. What that name of that show, 8 is Enough, is really saying is that 8 is enough to make our family complete. It's all we need. Not that there isn't more that there could be, but we are satisfied we have what we need with the 8 that we have. Perspective can really change what we think about many situations. In my thinking of Jesus being much more than enough, I tend to focus on the big picture. Look at all God is. If Jesus, as part of that triune God, is enough, why do we need the whole Bible to talk about God? The whole New Testament to talk specifically about Jesus and following Jesus? Or thousands of other books that have been written in the past talking about Jesus? Do we need them all if Jesus is enough? To help us see the importance of this teaching, I'd like to show you a commercial. It was a commercial made by a car company. It was a real commercial which aired in the United Kingdom in 2003. The commercial cost over $1 million to produce, but it has no actors. So they didn't have to pay those big fees for their salaries. It only aired a handful of times. Yet they spent all that money for it. Let's take a look at the commercial. Real commercial, made just with car parts. What was the most memorable thing from that commercial? It probably wasn't the car. It was the process to get to the point of seeing the car. Yet the purpose of the commercial was to get you to want to buy the vehicle. Now, because of my job, I have some experience in testing advertising. And some of the key things that they look for when you're measuring whether it's good advertising or not are how well you remember the brand, understanding what the commercial was saying about the advertised item, and how much it makes you want to purchase that advertised item. How well did this score on those measures? Probably not so well if you're remembering the parts and not the car. The commercial is an example of what's called a Rube Goldberg. A Rube Goldberg is defined as a machine intentionally designed to perform a simple task in an indirect and overcomplicated manner. In this case, the simple task was closing the hatch and dropping a banner. But yet, look at all the process it went through to get there. The question that comes to mind for me is, do I make faith a Rube Goldberg? Do we take the simple truths of faith and wrap them up in our theology and nuances of our beliefs so that we miss the focus of our belief? Do we worry more about a person's beliefs to see whether their view of God is more Arminian or Calvinist, or do we worry more about whether Jesus is the center of their faith? Let's take a step back and look at some basic truths from Scripture. Colossians 1, verses 15 to 23. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. I want to look at three key thoughts from this passage. First, Jesus is the creator of all things. I mentioned that before, but in verse 16 it says, in him, referring to the Son, or Jesus, so in Jesus all things were created. That's about as clear as you can get to describe who did the creating. That means that Jesus is the source of life. Not only did Jesus create everything, he holds it all together. He keeps it running, and he allows it to continue to function. It's under his control. You wouldn't be here without Jesus. I live because of Jesus. The second key thought, Jesus is God. Verse 19 says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Another way to say it, God was glad to make all that he is, his power, his presence, his qualities, to be all present in Jesus. Jesus is God. God who lived among us. The focus of our faith is Jesus. A third key thought, Jesus made us right with God. He provides salvation. Verse 20 says, Jesus reconciled all things, or made all things right with God, by his blood shed on the cross. This is the real focus of our faith. Jesus died for us to make us right with God. Jesus is our way to heaven. Verses 21 and 22 help us to see more clearly that Jesus is enough. It says we were alienated from God. That word alienated says a lot. By definition, it means to be isolated from or no longer on friendly terms with someone else. Imagine that. We are no longer on friendly terms with God. We were isolated from God. Why? Because of our evil behavior. It doesn't matter if our evil behavior is lying or murder, gossip or robbery. It doesn't say really bad people were the ones that were alienated. All of us were. It's not a matter of degree. Evil behavior is evil, regardless of how bad we think the evil is. In God's eye, it's all sin, and he can't be in the presence of God of sin. So we're alienated from him. The good news is Jesus' death on the cross fixed that. Verse 22 says that because of Jesus dying a physical death, we were made holy, or clean and pure in his sight. Regardless of what was done in the past, what that evil behavior was, doesn't matter. God sees nothing wrong with us only because of Jesus. Jesus is enough. So the three key thoughts again. I have life because of Jesus. The focus of our faith is Jesus. And Jesus is our way to heaven. In other words, Jesus is enough. The message of Jesus being enough is repeated over and over in Scripture. Jesus is enough to make us right with God and provide salvation. Romans 10:9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's all about Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough for our salvation. We don't need anything else. The verses tell us that we don't need anything more than Jesus. We don't need to understand all types of theology. We don't need to memorize the Pentateuch. We don't need to follow some 10-step process and make sure everything's checked off before we get salvation. Jesus is enough. Do we try to make our sharing our faith or gaining salvation like a Rube Goldberg? Do we try to make it too complicated, making sure we explain every detail and understand all the deep theology behind it before accepting Christ or before we even start to share our Christ with other people? We just need to step back and remember, Jesus is enough. We can even make our daily lives after accepting Christ complicated. Jesus had comforting words for us from the Beatitudes, but think about them in a different way. If you're poor in spirit, Jesus is enough. If you're mourning, Jesus is enough. If you're in search of righteousness, Jesus is enough. If you're persecuted, Jesus is enough. If you're insulted, Jesus is enough. That gives us freedom. Many of you are dealing with some serious issues or concerns. Are we putting Jesus at the center of those concerns? Or is our focus on finding solutions for ourselves? Jesus may not address the concern the way we want it to be addressed, but he will walk you through it and be with you. If we put him at the center of the issue, whatever you're worried about. Does this mean the rest of the teaching of the Bible are not important? Not at all. Those things are important to help us to grow even closer to Christ. But like that family with 8 children, we are complete and our basic needs are met in Jesus. When we accept Jesus into our lives and accept his salvation, we begin a new life of love for Christ. When Jesus was asked how to live after we ask him into our lives, he had this simple answer from Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." This is where all that other stuff becomes important. After we accept Jesus as Savior, there's two things that we need. Love God, love others. It says that all the law and the prophets, all that was written before, are wrapped up in those two things. Love God and love others more. That's what it's all there for. To help us to learn how to love God. So that extra stuff is to help us develop our life after we gain that salvation. But it's all focused on one thing, Jesus. The bottom line for me is that too often I make my conversations with others about faith a Rube Goldberg. I have discussions about the details of faith. I study to answer those what and why questions, and I focus on the real purpose. I lose focus on that real purpose of those questions. I become like that car commercial. When I do that, the things that people remember after my conversations are all the extra stuff. They don't remember Jesus. But that was what I was trying to get at. There's so much freedom knowing that we don't have all the answers, and we don't need to know deep lessons in theology. The key for us is in answering the question, are my conversations and walk of faith highlighting the details or highlighting Jesus? Remember, Jesus is enough. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we just thank you for Jesus. Jesus is enough. He provided salvation, provided the answers that we need, provided life for us. You've given us everything. Help us to give you everything as a response in caring for you, loving you as you call us to. Make us your people and help us to follow you and live each day like Jesus is enough.